another very important story. The Nolan Show can reveal this morning that people are waiting to see a consultant for back problems in the Belfast Trust. The wait? Nearly 2.5 years. Let me repeat that. 120 weeks, nearly 2.5 years to see a consultant for back problems in the Belfast Trust. The Trust has released a statement to this programme in which they have said they're extremely sorry for these delays. They say that the demand exceeds capacity. They say that they've put additional clinics in place by their spinal surgeons to reduce waiting times, but that the current wait is 120 weeks. GP Dr. Michael McKenna with us today.
Morning, Steve.
I hesitate, Michael. We've been working to stand up these figures. I hesitate to say it out loud because I kind of take a double take and I think, is that true? Because back pain is excruciatingly debilitating for any of us. 2.5 years to see a consultant.
That really represents those people who are the worst of us who suffer from back problems. Unfortunately, back pain is one of the number one causes of keeping people out of work. So not only does the 2.5 years represent an unfortunate and unnecessary waiting time for people to see a consultant, but it also represents a huge cost to the economy, you know, in terms of lost working days to these people and to their businesses.
Do you get many people coming into your surgery with back pain?
As I said, back pain is a hugely common problem. I mean, if you look at the figures, about 1 in 4 people will suffer from a back problem in their lifetime.
And do you have to tell some people with serious back pain it's going to be 2.5 years?
Well, I would love to be able to tell somebody the exact time that they will wait to see a consultant or be seen in a clinic at the point of referring them. But I just can't do that because I don't have the information at hand. You know, if you got the information on back pain or the clinics, you probably had to put a Freedom of Information request into the Trust to get that waiting time. I think, you know...
To be fair to the Trust, by the way, we sometimes with some organisations, we do have to go down the FOI route. The Trust were forthcoming with this information.
No. I think that the waiting time should be published regularly and easily available for anybody who wants to access them.
So if we're making people wait 2.5 years and they're the serious cases, then, you know, take a step back from that to the not-so-serious cases. How long are they waiting?
Well, I mean, the not-so-serious cases, again, there are a lot of things that we could do in the system that would actually help the problem. For instance, if we had readily available access to physiotherapy, if you look at the waiting time for that in Belfast at the minute, it's in and around 4 to 5 months. You know, so that represents missed opportunity and missed rehabilitation, which is one of the most important aspects of recovery and getting people back to prevent long-term back problems, you know, is the rehabilitation aspect of things. So doing simple things like allowing people to access physiotherapy in a timely way would reduce the number of people who would end up having to see a surgeon.
And there will be many of you that could be on these waiting lists. Maybe you want to pick up the phone just today, 03030 80 55 55. You see, this is when it then comes down to money, Michael, which... Yeah. You know, it's a very unsavoury business that if you have money, you get treated in Northern Ireland, and if you don't, you don't get treated in some circumstances. Because we all, well, a lot of us like to think of the NHS, one of those pillars of the NHS, free at the point of need. And yet if you have money, you will presumably be seen a lot quicker within the private sector than if you don't in an illness like this. 2.5 years is unbelievable.
Well, I mean, it's wrong. And we've been putting up in Northern Ireland with waiting times like that for years. We've known about the capacity, demand capacity gap in orthopaedic surgery for a long time. And I've known it. I mean, the waiting lists haven't really changed as far as I can remember, certainly in that speciality, for some considerable time. And no matter how much money we throw at it in terms of waiting list initiatives, the waiting list never seems to get any shorter, and the demand capacity gap never seems to close. So we need to be smarter, you know, in terms of how money is spent.
Are there longer waiting lists in other areas?
I mean, there are waiting list problems across the board in quite a few specialities. I highlighted a problem in January with gastroenterology, and that, to a certain extent, still exists. There are problems in neurology, urology, and rheumatology, and long waiting times in those specialties as well. It doesn't affect all specialties, and cancer, provision for cancer care still remains, by and large, very good for patients. They will be seen very quickly and dealt with very quickly, and rightly so. And right across the NHS, everybody is working harder than ever to try and meet the demands that are placed on it. And we need to start thinking about things like what we are prepared to pay for within the NHS.
Yeah, because, you know, some people would maybe criticise the trust. What can they do if they don't have the funding?
Absolutely. That's right across the UK. The funding difficulties, that's been highlighted by the King's Fund, and the number of trusts in England who are running in financial deficit at present is huge.
Is this true? Because one of our listeners has just contacted me to say, Stephen, back pain can be a diagnosis for many cancers, and therefore to make people wait 2.5 years due to a lack of funding could be a death sentence.
Well, there are things that certainly I can do as a general practitioner to try and rule out back pain and rule out cancer in a case of back pain. And there are certain things that are called red flags that we're trained to look out for.
Yeah.
And those patients will be referred, almost called a red flag route.
Okay.
And they will be seen within 2 weeks.
Okay, so there are other ways of spotting that and alleviating any worries people would have around that. Okay, Michael, thank you. Anne?
Where's Anne?
Morning, Anne. Sorry, Annie. Morning,
thank
Annie.
Thank you very much, Stephen.
Good morning.
Stephen, my daughter has been attending the hospital for 2 years with her leg. Now, what it is, it's the inside bones of her knee that are rubbing together and are rubbing whatever bone off. I don't know things for it. I was at the Royal with her a fortnight ago, and now we've been to doctors, she's had x-rays, she's been told she'll be seen. We've seen the consultant who's going to do the operation, and his words to us in the Royal 3 weeks ago were, you need this operation done, and I'm the boss, the buck stops with me. Would you be prepared if I get a cancellation, could you come in tomorrow? And my daughter says, I could come in today, never mind tomorrow. She says, because I am unable to do my work or anything else. Because whatever this is in her leg, it locks.
Yeah, because that's the other part of the story, of course, the effect on the economy.
Yes.
If people are waiting years.
Well, she's waiting now 2 years. Now, after seeing this consultant, and she rang the hospital again, and she got a girl on the phone, and she says to her, oh, no, you wouldn't be seen any quicker if you were going to get a cancellation. It could be another 7 to 9 months before you're going to be
seen. My goodness. Annie, thank you. Bill in Belfast. Morning, Bill.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, I was saying to your researcher, my wife waited 18 months for an injection in her hip. And when she got to the hospital, the consultant told her and apologised that the injection was no good. You need a new hip. And he says, I'm very sorry to tell you, there's a 2-year waiting list. So she waited 18 months for this injection, which she didn't get. And now she's on a waiting list for a new hip. And at night she puts morphine patches on to ease the pain so she can sleep. So I think the Northern Ireland government should get their fingers out and look after the medical thing instead of all this nonsense they're going through. I'm just listening to all the people complaining. So that'll be 3.5 years if she's to wait 2 years.
And again, if you have money.
Oh, you could go tomorrow.
And that's not right.
Of course not. We work, my wife and me are both pensioners, and we've worked all our lives.
And you've paid into the NHS through your your national insurance and your taxes. So it is not right.
Well, he paid them.
That someone, maybe like me, that's got enough money to be able to go private could get seen a lot quicker than someone like your wife. That is not right.
But I wouldn't hold it against anybody if they went private and paid. That's just, well, they're taking the pressure off the system. But all as we hear about is the hospital crisis.
The Announce MLA, thank you, Bill. Paula Bradshaw has been listening to this. Morning, Paula.
Good morning.
120 weeks to see a consultant. This isn't to get treated, by the way. This is to see a consultant for back problems. So the first time you're going to see a consultant is after waiting 2 years.
Well, I've been in the fortunate position this last 4 or 5 weeks meeting with people from the Royal College of GPs, meeting with the Royal College of Midwives today. I've had an opportunity to find out what's wrong with the system. When people get into the system in terms of meeting a consultant, it's fine and the treatment is there. The problem is within the GP and primary care sector. They're under so much crisis and so much pressure that too many people are being referred to get a consultant. If we could sort out what's happening at the grassroots and get people pushed through to physios, find out what's happening to people in terms of diagnosis earlier, ensuring that they're getting the support and treatment in the community, then only the people who are in complete crisis would be on these waiting lists and they would inevitably be reduced very quickly. So it's up to the Health Minister in terms of the Bengoa expert panel recommendations and for her to implement the changes as soon as possible.
It's unbelievable, Paula. It genuinely is. I am genuinely shocked by these figures that we've got.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think that too many people are being referred on. There are people who are having to wait, as we're hearing, for 2 years, who shouldn't be having to wait anywhere near that because the system is being blocked whenever they can actually be being treated differently and being diagnosed and get on a different care pathway.
There are a lot of people contacting us this morning, Paula. Thank you. David in Belfast. Next morning, David.
Hello, good morning to you. I would like to compliment the GP that you had on this morning and he demonstrated a high level of professional care and understanding, and that last person there trying to put the buck onto GPs, putting too many people into the system. We've almost 500,000 people queued up and she's trying to pretend that half of these people don't need to be on the list. And I don't think they're ringing up to you, telling you this morning. No, the thing is, two points you've already raised. One of them was that if you pay a couple of £100, you could see the same consultant within a week or two privately.
Well, those consultants are working outside they work what they're required to work within the NHS.
It's all very legitimate. It's all very legitimate. They can earn themselves £1,000 a night or something in the evening. And that's outside ours, and that's fine. But I mean, if you're working for a company and you're under pressure, you're asked to do a bit of overtime or to do something. If the operating slots aren't available, they don't have the time available, and they have many hours.
I think what the private sector would say, David, is that they have a more efficient model. They're able to move people through the system faster because they have to be more efficient.
That's a very, very, very good point. And that brings back to reinforce what the person said beforehand, that the administration of all of these things, could be looked at. Yeah.
And against that, by the way, for those who are against the private sector, they would say that they, of course, as profit-making companies, are using consultants who have been trained by the NHS funding.
Yes.
So by public funding. So there are arguments on both sides, aren't there?
Yes, it's a very, it's a difficult issue. But what we're looking at is the vast majority of the public can't access a public service.
Yeah.
And yet a lot of the public employees are paid BUFA to sidetrack the system that maybe they're even working in and causing.
Well, look,
I'll
tell you what we'll do for next week, okay? We will contact the trusts and we'll try to get a feel for in what areas are the longest waiting times in Northern Ireland, because Dr. McKenna, who was on this morning, suggesting that there are other areas with even longer waiting times in 2.5 years. So let's see if we can bring to the public domain what areas have the longest waiting times in Northern Ireland in terms of areas of illness and specialties. David, thank you.
No, thank
Morning
you.
To you.